In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You and I both know that exercise is good for you. Yeah, that's usually where it stops. We acknowledge the truth, but it's hard to follow up on that. We know it's the way to build and maintain strength and good health. Same goes for your mind, for your brain. Reading, working on puzzles, playing cards, board games, not to mention tackling those practical questions like how to stop the sink from leaking, or what to do with that bill that came in the mail that we already paid. We know it's good for the mind and for the body to be tested so they become stronger. We see this, well, and the same goes for bridges, for swords, for your golf swing. It needs testing and needs exercise. Same goes with trust. Trust needs strengthening. Like trust among your family, between your kids, between husband and wife. It needs to be exercised. You don't have to create tests, though, for trust to be built between family members. These things, these exercises come up naturally. But each of those tests has the purpose of strengthening love, of strengthening faithfulness. This is why Jacob wrestled with God, and why the woman from Canaan persisted in prayer. For trust in God and his promises is tested, it's exercised. It's tested for the purpose of strengthening, not for breaking. These tests can come in at least four different ways. First way these tests come is from outside of yourself, from externally. These afflictions, these attacks, they come unpredicted, unexpected, and they aren't necessarily having to do with anything regarding your fault. Satan can be behind them, as well as evil men. Remember David being pursued by Saul. Because Saul was jealous of the favor that God gave to David. David was kept on the run. He was hiding in caves for years. But many of the Psalms that we read and that we hear, they come down from us, to us, from David praying in those circumstances. The very results of living in this sin-corrupted world means these arrows sink in on us from many different angles. I know in this town in the past, high winds and an ice storm can wreak devastation on a town. That cancer diagnosis, that you have no idea where that came from. Car accidents that aren't your fault. These things happen. And we don't know why. Just like this Canaanite woman. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. Satan was attacking her, afflicting her. But when evil came and attacked her family, she went straight to the Lord. That's what we can do. We can go straight to the Lord in prayer, where he has promised to be in his word, where he has promised to be in his sacraments, bound up with those signs. Don't try to reason out the whys. Instead, cast them down at the Lord's feet. The Lord God is the one to flee to when we're attacked like this. He's the one to flee to because of his omnipotence and his promises. His omnipotence, his power over all things, means really he's the only one who can actually do anything. He's the first and final one with the ability to do something. No one else can compare to that depth and dynamic of power. But he would be far off, he'd be unapproachable, unless he also promised to hear us. Because of his promise and power, plead to the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for help in times of affliction or attack. The second way God exercises your faith is probably one of the more frustrating ways, but it's by postponing help. Remember the first answer from the Lord. The Canaanite woman received absolute silence from Jesus in answer to her plea. Scripture puts words to her frustration and to ours. I cry to you for help and you do not answer me. I stand and you only look at me. You know how frustrating it is to ask someone a question and they just stare at you? Like they didn't hear? Like you didn't speak clearly? Like you're an idiot or you're not worth it? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Oh my God, how I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Those are words of Christians, of Job, of the psalmist, of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? You are not alone in this response from the Lord. The saints in Scripture and in history have also received silence in answer to prayer. It's important to know then that he isn't refusing you. He can't go against his own promise to hear you. Instead, he's calling on you to consider again his word and promises. He's calling on you to cling even more to what has actually been revealed and not to what is hidden. Remember Jesus' instructions for prayer? It's recorded in Matthew and Luke, right around the giving of the Lord's Prayer. He says, ask, seek, knock. Those three verbs, they kind of describe a rising urgency to your prayer. It describes a Christian prayer. First, when in need, ask. If there's no response, go after him in his word and promises, seek after him. If there's still no answer, get right at his door and get louder and more irritating, like Jacob. Leave no escape for him by shouting his very own word back to him. You will find that persistence in prayer causes new strength and resolve because it's based on God's revealed promises. The third way God exercises your faith is when doubt seeps into your heart. Doubt that his promises actually apply to you. But the woman from Canaan was told kind of indirectly that Jesus hadn't come to help her. That his preaching and his healing and blessing wasn't for her. It was for the lost sheep of Israel, and that was not her. Now, Jesus wasn't lying. Before his ascension into heaven, he went first among the lost sheep of Israel. He wasn't refusing her. But consider this. He was testing her to consider the breadth of God's promise of mercy and love. Not just right in that moment, but all that he had revealed in history and in Scripture. Did the mercy of God apply to her as well? Consider the words from Ezekiel. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? His desire is not that you be refused, that you dwell in hurt and in sin and in affliction. Or Jesus' own words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Did those promises extend to her? Do they extend to you? The Lord can often seem far away, distant, standoffish, as it were, far above your puny hurts and fears. Maybe his attention is better spent on others with worse struggles. Or you may actually experience it that he seems hardened to your cause, that he doesn't care. There seems that he doesn't want to do anything for you, that he wants nothing to do with you. You're on your own, it feels. This is when we remember the promises of the Lord. He cannot go back on his word. You know that because he sent his own son to die for you, keeping his promise made thousands of years before. His keeping his promise didn't depend on the faithfulness of those for whom he made the promise. If that was the case, well, the world would have been destroyed a few more times rather than the flood only. And in fact, he kept his promise there, didn't he? That was the reason he preserved Noah and those eight people. That's because of his promise. The divine promise never fails. Jesus Christ is proof of that. So that's why when this Canaanite woman seemed to have been refused, even if it was indirectly, that caused her to get even closer, to stand in his way, to come at his feet and kneel and say, "Help me." He didn't even use the word "have mercy." She was just begging him to do something. But he was not done yet. The fourth and final way our Lord exercises your faith in him is when anxiety arises in your heart on account of your unworthiness. And this ought to happen sometime. That's what the law of God does. When you hear that he punishes the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. When you hear that you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Whenever you hear whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. When you hear, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." This woman was called a dog by the Lord Jesus. She was of no account and not worthy to receive anything from Jesus. He was looking right at her. And what was her answer? Yes, she agreed. She wasn't asking for help based on herself, even on behalf of her daughter, or anyone's worthiness. The Lord had so arranged this exercise for her that there was no doubt in her mind. So there's no doubt, perhaps in yours, why the Lord would give her anything. The Lord healed her daughter because he wanted to, because he is merciful and full of grace. He answers your prayers and strengthens your faith, especially through trials, that you may be convinced of the one true hope. That the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, is merciful and kind. That he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for you. That he's the only one worth asking for help in any situation and in every situation. For he's the only one who will never fail you, nor fail in his promises for you. The same Lord give you his Holy Spirit to strengthen your heart and confirm your faith and hope in his grace and mercy. Although we have reason to fear because of our own conscience, our own sin, the power of Satan, and our unworthiness, we may nevertheless, with this woman of Canaan, hold fast to his grace, and in every trial and temptation find him a very present help and refuge. In the name of Jesus, amen.